As we prepare to receive of our tithes and offerings, we're again reminded of a couple things. If you look at your bulletin, you'll see again a thank you to all of our veterans who served, and to honor them, but not only them, but families as well. Can you say amen to that?
That's
a real, it's a team effort. And to look at all the amazing things that are going on, I thought I would just just mention a couple things. We have, Real Life, hi, Jillian's a big part of that, and we have a opportunity of a night of thankfulness on coming up Thursday. So that's exciting to be able to partner with Coffee Oasis, the teen center there, right? That's exciting. And then also I remind you of a Christmas choir opportunity. So this good, yeah. So, I mean, this is like, man, this is like the best. Sing at Christmas. So we'd like to see about 20, 25 of us up here who maybe you're not normally a part of the worship team. See, you can be on the choir. See, I could sing on the choir. You just find someone who's a little louder than you and you just sing a little softer and you sound amazing. Can you say amen to that? That's the secret. So be a part of that and sign up, talk to anyone on the worship team. See, Pastor Deanna will make it happen. So praise God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your blessing and for the many opportunities, Lord, that we have in serving you and, Lord, honoring you. We pray, Lord God, that as we give, again, as part of our worship, and we're just so unbelievably thankful, Lord, for so much. Yes. Lord, for those who serve, for families who support. Lord, for just seeing someone like Julian who is just starting her career. God, we're reminded of how you bring so much into our lives, and we are so thankful. Yes. So bring your continued blessing in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, this morning, I wanted to share with you a word that really the Lord gave to me a little bit ago. And it's one of those things, again, that you let it sort of sit in your heart and your mind, and you process it, and then you come to this realization that, wow, God, you have something for all of us here. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 15. And we're going to look at just a couple of passages in Proverbs and elsewhere. We're going to start there. What I want to share with you is something that really occurred to me as we have processed and you and I are living life together with so many different things going on. And I've been praying and thinking about all the events of life right now and thinking about the responsibility we have to the world around us.
Yes.
Once you have a sense that, you know, being a believer isn't about you, it's really about the Lord and about really others around us that we serve. And too often the world we live in today, we've become somewhat, I think, overly self-focused. You here are the exception. Can you say amen to that? Matter of fact, everyone here I know is truly the exception, and you're so much about something that we believe, service before self. I mean, that's one of the values that we've supported and we've taught from really almost the very beginning.
Right.
We believe in that. It's on our wall that we believe in service before self. I mean, there's something about that idea that, you know, when you think of first responders, they're trained to move into danger, not run away. You know, and you think about that kind of train. I'd like to think that you and I, as believers in Jesus, understand we're to move forward into a place that may be challenging, even dangerous, and we don't run away. And there's something about the world we live in today that I believe is really challenging with so much negative stuff. I mean, it wasn't too long ago. I mean, it seems like a month doesn't go by that something bad is happening. I mean, the last event, I understand, I heard the news just, I was on the radio listening for a few minutes that the church that, lost so many people, 26 individuals, I believe, and so many wounded today was their first service again. And so they're actually reassembling. And that was exciting to hear that, you know, here they are moving forward.
Right.
I mean, you hear about those things, and so what do we do with that? I mean, we hear about, I mean, Jillian is a special person, but she gets a diagnosis of cancer, and so what does she do? And she moves forward. And to see that, I see so many others doing the same thing. And so the Lord spoke to me about a responsibility that I believe we have as a church, as believers in Jesus. Titled the message, Cheerfulness is Medicine. I believe we can be medicine to the world around us. I believe God is speaking a word to us that with everything that's stirring around us, with all the things that are crazy, I wonder how you and I see the word of God speaking to us that we, in fact, can be medicine to the world around us. The word of God even says that we can be medicine to the world around us. That's why we're going to look at Proverbs together. And you can see we have a number of passages. And in Proverbs 15, this is from the Message. I'm going to look at a couple versions, but it says, a cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart make it hard to get through the day. That make sense? It says in Proverbs 15:30, the light in your eyes, this is from the Amplified, of him whose heart is joyful rejoices the hearts of others, and good news nourishes the bones. Can you say amen to that? I was talking to an individual, and we were just talking about life, and this person was sharing with me the fact that they had come from a life and a family that, to say the least, wasn't very exciting. I mean, she talks about the trials of growing up in her family of origin, and it was pretty negative. It was not very encouraging, not very affirming, a lot of rigidity and harshness, and just, you know, a lot of, and there were a lot of other really bad things going on in this family. And now she's an adult and struggling. Well, she has, you know, as she was sharing her story, she had been through a really ugly and very sad divorce, but what had happened was there was a lot that went on, that things that her husband did, and this is one of those few times where she worked probably over 2 years trying to, I believe, salvage the relationship. Anyway, it ended. And I think it was one of those times where I think in this very special condition, I think it was probably for the best. But I got to tell you, she was deeply damaged. And she was someone that, you know, I've been working with for a while and just kind of walking through this journey. And it was neat because she shared with me that she's got involved with a new family. And we were talking, and as we were going through this, basically the message was, and she said, you know, Pastor, I have never been around a family like this. I said, what do you mean? She said, I got to ask you, I mean, is this like weird? I said, what's weird? It seems like they're always happy. I said, well, I don't know. They may be in denial or something. Tell me what you mean by that. And she started sharing with me the fact that this family is going through a lot of difficult times, and she was sharing some of the events they went through, and they were talking about, I mean, illnesses and losses and on it goes. I mean, the kinds of things that life brings. And she says, every time I'm around this family, they just continue to love Jesus. And they talk in a way like they really love Jesus. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, she says, they're just like way too cheerful. I said, they should be like mad and depressed and having negative talk. And she says, that's what I'm used to. And I get around this family, and she says, I feel like I withdraw and get so quiet because this is so weird to me because I'm used to so much different. I'm used to what is so negative and harsh and complaining. And she says, I get around these people and they actually really love Jesus. And then she looked at me and said, so what's wrong with me? That's kind of thing that happens when you go through life and you're wounded repeatedly. And you begin to lose that sense of joy and understanding of what and how it is. Let me tell you, as I heard that story, God spoke to me. I said, oh, I just would hope and pray that we could be a congregation of people who love Jesus so much that all of a sudden our language, our attitude, and our heart changes, even in the face of some of the most difficult things. And that we become and begin to live in a way that provides ministry to the world around us because of how we respond to the world around us. I have been exposed in my life to families like that. And I absolutely love hanging out with families that can go through deep waters and difficult times and still really love Jesus. And not only love Jesus when it's, you know, a lot of us, we love Jesus when it's all working well. But what about loving? Now, again, I'm not suggesting that we are in some kind of crazy denial, like, you know, you never can have a bad moment, or, you know, we all kind of have sad days and all those. I mean, can you say amen to that? Don't misunderstand this. I'm not asking you to look and act in a genuine way weird. That is not what I'm promoting here. I am not speaking of a weirdness. I'm talking about how it is we live as believers. And here's the challenging piece that I know. The church is doing a really lousy job with this. I need to step on a few toes here, lovingly, to communicate a message that says, listen, you need to take a look at this and begin to think about, so what's really going on inside of you? Because God's challenging me. Again, I go through ups and downs. I even get sick occasionally, right? And I have, every now and then, I need a mental health day just like the rest of you. Can you say amen to that? I mean, life can get overwhelming. And then you turn to Jesus. And Jesus turns it into something different. So there's something here that I believe that can happen that is absolutely powerful. Look what it says in Proverbs 17. A merry heart does good like, what's that word?
Medicine.
There you go. But a broken spirit dries the bones. Isn't that true? I love that. I love it. It says, again, in the same passage from the Message, I like this. So this is from the New King James. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. I see a lot of people bone tired because there's so much gloom and doom.
Right.
And we're challenged with this. And just, there's something about, I believe, God calling us to learn what it means to be positive and encouraging and to do this with our nonverbals, with our verbals, with our attitudes. I mean, there's something about people coming in the life of this church, and they would visit us and not just see us as, well, because they do see us as a warm, we're friendly, we're loving, but also to see us encouraging and strengthening, because there are people coming in who have been beat up in the battle, and they come in, there's something of great ministry that we can offer by how we are in Jesus, really in Jesus. I'm not asking anyone, I want to be clear here, to pretend. I'm asking you and I to get so close to Jesus that it becomes a real expression of who we are and what we're about. Because I believe that is absolutely possible. And to begin to have an opportunity of ministry. You know, the word medicine, I love it when you find a word that's only used once in the Bible. Right? This is a Hebrew word. It says medicine. It's used only here. And can you and I agree there's nothing by accident in the Bible?
That's right.
And when God puts a word in that's only used once, that means it's extra special. And here's what the word means. To be set free from guilt, pain, and disease.
Amen.
So here's what it says. A merry heart does good to free you from guilt, pain, and disease.
That's right.
But a broken spirit dries the bones. You begin to realize that this is an absolutely amazing word to you and I of what we're called to do. We're called to be medicine. I asked my staff to process this with me. So I gave my whole team homework assignment. I said, okay, I want you guys to go and pray about this thing about the church being, you know, medicine and cheerfulness is medicine and all that. And so my whole team, I had They went and spent a whole long time just kind of, you know, talking to the Lord and whatnot. And unfortunately, I can't have all 18 of them come up. Can you see me out of that? But I can't have a couple of them who represent, I thought, some of the things. So I wanted to share the pulpit with them. Isn't that crazy? So we're doing things a little differently. So I'm going to stop here for a second. And Pastor Ken's going to come up, and he's going to continue with this message and what we're talking about, only he's going to add his perspective. So, Pastor Ken.
Good morning. It's always an honor to be able to do anything in partnership and teamwork with Pastor Steve. And as he mentioned, he sent us all away, and it was a spiritual day. And we've talked to you guys about the significance of taking a spiritual day where we went away and just really spent time with Jesus and was listening to what he would speak. And in that day, the Lord brought me to Psalm 119. And if you know Psalm 119, we all kind of know it as the longest, you know, single book in the Bible or a single psalm in the Bible, but it's all about God's Word. It's this beautiful psalm that just dives into God's Word. And as I've spent the time with him in that on that day, God really began to reveal the beauty and the encouragement that we can draw from Scripture when we allow him to speak to us from his Word. I was drawn specifically to Psalm 119, verse 136. And it says, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." And as I began to really think about that, because it was unusual, because it was such an encouraging word, what stood out is the pain and the suffering that's endured by those around us because of a lack of knowledge and integration of God's Word. It's staggering to me. See, God's Word in all of His Scripture is like medicine to the soul. His love is medicine to us. See, His Word produces so many things in us. James chapter 1, when we began to think about, what do I need to do, Lord? How do I need to look at this situation that's going on in my life? There's this conflict that I'm having in my life. What do I need to do? And God says, I have a principle for that. James chapter 1 says, "So then, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, because the wrath of man, your wrath does not produce the righteousness of God." Yes, sir. Slow down. Really check my own spirit and what's going on. And sometimes, you know, I just like you, I face these times of fear. Something's going on, something that's impacting. And God took me to Psalm 23, verse 4. He says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Well, if there's a valley of shadow, it means death is there. There's that time in that place we're facing something that is so troublesome and so scary that, you know, I'm just in that place where I really need that encouragement. It says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, your authority, Father, it comforts me." And man, there are times when, I don't know about you, but I just feel alone. I just feel like I'm fighting this battle all by myself, and God takes me to a place like Hebrews 13. It says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And it goes on, it says, can I really have confidence in this God? Because, you know, it seems like everything about this world and this culture is attacking what I believe. And Lord, I just need to know that I can really hang everything about my life on you. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And when I get to the end of my rope and I tie that knot and I'm concerned about falling, he reminds me that I can do all things through Jesus, who is my strength. Not my strength, but the strength of Jesus Christ. As I was reflecting on all those things during that day, reflecting on what God was speaking, God spoke to me and he used part of my history, my background, and he says, you need to soak and persevere. And a lot of you know that I spent a lot of time on submarines. And I was a reactor operator, was what I did as a trade. And there's times when the reactor shut down and the metal's cold. And you can't just heat it back up real fast. You have to bring it back up in steps and stages. Because if you heat it up too fast, you can break things. And God was using it. He says, just like that temperature has to be raised at a controlled place. And then sometimes you just have to stop and let it rest at that temperature for a while and let the metal catch up so that it heats all the way through. He says, that's what I'm speaking to you right now, that the power that the church needs to exude is being raised up, that the power of abundant life is being raised up, the temperature is being raised, and we need to walk with him and allow that to be raised and to come to those places where we soak in him and we persevere and allow him to continue to use us. Psalm 119, verses 129 through 136 say this: your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Compared to God, I'm simple, okay? I'll own it. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments, your leadership. Look at me. Look at me, God, and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Verse 136, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Soak and persevere. Build up at a pace that God is building us up and moving us towards spiritual maturity.
Is amen to that? Amen. Pastor Christina, also on the team, had something I thought was really representative of so much of what we found. And so, Pastor Christina.
Thank you. I love spending a day with Jesus. You know, you really can't pull anything over on him. Amen. I could be done right there and just sit down. But on this day, we're spending a day with Jesus. I am absolutely miserable. I've got pollen is trying to kill me. I can't breathe. I'm under an electric blanket. I'm huddled up and I'm just feeling miserable, feeling sorry for myself. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm just going to take a nap for the day and we can resume later. But when you're listening, even when you're feeling miserable, when you're listening, God just gets to the point, to the heart of the matter. And it just felt like he flooded my spirit. And one of the things that he really brought into my mind, into my spirit was being medicine for others. Okay, so pouring out to others. I'm pouring out Jesus. That's my job, him to fill me and to pour out to others. If I'm going to be medicine for others, I need to have the maturity to recognize that I need medicine as well. If I am not being poured into, how can I pour out to the community? How can I give something that I do not have? Or if what I have is so tiny or so dry or so unused, how can I use that effectively for his kingdom? Pastor says we are ambassadors, and we are. So asking ourselves, what is the Lord prescribing for me to be healthy and to grow? A little play on the medicine word. What is the prescription that he has? He is the great physician. What is the prescription for us to be able to pour out into others to be medicine? So prescriptions are, for believers, things like worship. Okay, newsflash, Worship is not only coming here, standing at your chair, and singing songs. Worship is everything that we do for the Lord God. That is a prescription. Word. Again, newsflash, not just what Pastor Steve brings here. Really, to be honest. Education, OBI, hello, do we have any OBI folks in here? Fantastic, fantastic. Also, classes. We've got some tremendous opportunities here, and not just here, but go to school. Learn. Again, how can you pour out what you do not have? Relationships. I was talking to somebody the other day that was saying that they don't have a circle of friends because they don't feel they need a circle of friends. They don't feel like they need a group. And that's tragic. I'm an introvert for true. And my default is to just do this and be all my... But again, how can I pour out love? Love is a verb, you guys. How can I pour that out if I am not seeking that? Giving. One of my favorite parts of children's ministry is to see the offerings that the kids bring in. We get foreign money, lots of Canadian pennies. The other day I got a little plastic play money that said copy on it. Like, obviously it's not a real, but kids bring that in and they're so proud to put their plastic penny into the bag. But am I giving? Am I giving not only my tithe, my offering, but am I giving my time? These are questions. I want you all to think about that. Where are you in this right now? And serving. Where are we serving? If your sole act of service is sitting in that chair right now, well, I'm here, God. Wow. That's all I have to say to that. Wow. So, initiative. Yeah. Initiative. Oh, my goodness. Just do it. Yeah. Years ago, probably about 20 years ago, I used to have a theme that I felt like the Lord gave me for the year. Each year, it was something different. And for like 4 years in a row, it was the same theme. Just do it. Like, God, what are you trying to say? Really? I asked myself, what are you trying to say? Am I hearing you? No. Just do it. Get up. Just do it. We have a lot of introverts here. I hear that a lot. Well, I'm an introvert. Me too. That'll preach. I understand that. Get up. What do I need to do? Who do I talk to? Oh my gosh, do I actually have to go to somebody and say, excuse me, can you help me? Where do I get my hands on this stuff? How do I grow? Also, I just have one more slide and then I'm done. Being medicine for others means we recognize that we have unlimited resources for growth. Okay? How many of you have a device? Yeah, a lot of you use it. Hold it up. Hold up your device. Okay, that little jewel right there, yes, it can be a curse, but my gosh, it can be a gift from God. At your fingertips, you've got unlimited resources right there. I go and I have my spiritual day. And I used to just carry all these kinds of books, and now I just happy-go-lucky. I've got my device. I've got my music. I've got my Bible. I've got several different Bibles with resource concordances. It's all right there. It's at my fingertips. And if I do not open that up, if I do not take that book and open it up, what good is it? What good is it? I've heard that people with beautiful toothbrushes have nasty teeth. Okay? Is your Bible beautiful? And it's, oh, this is 20 years old and it looks brand new. Well, there you go. Maybe your teeth aren't so great. We've got all of this, you guys. Are we using it? Are we using it? Ask yourself that right now. Just think, am I using it? I'm called to be medicine to pour out, but am I allowing God to pour in to me? Am I taking the initiative and am I using my resources? And those are my questions for you guys.
All right. Amen. Nice job, Pastor Christina. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Let's wrap this up with James chapter 5. Turn with me there. James chapter 5. Is any among you suffering? Let him what? Okay, look at it. Let him what? There you go. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them what?
Pray.
Over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the what?
Prayer.
Of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he'll be forgiven. There's three critical things here that we can see. Number one, it says, is any one of you in trouble or suffering? I mean, the reality is, and what we're going to see, it's kind of crazy, but when Scripture repeats itself seven times, and a word appears in six verses seven times, that ought to say something to us. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
And seven times the word prayer appears. And so one of the most important ways, I mean, how is it that we are going to be able to minister and be medicine? Prayer. Praying for people. There are times when, have you ever done this where you're talking to someone and then you walk away and halfway, you know, you're walking away, you feel like you're kicking yourself because you didn't pray?
Yes.
That happened with me the other day and I thought, no, we got to pray. And then I called back this couple and I said, listen, we hung up too quickly. Can we pray? And I'm just reminded over and over again of the importance. If you and I are going to minister to the people around us, it's critical that we become a people who pray without any apology. There's something, I've done this for a really long time now. I probably have been doing this a little bit longer than some of you are in age. And I look at that, and I'm saying this intentionally, I have not once ever had someone say, when I said, may I pray with you, no, please don't pray for me.
Yeah.
That just hasn't happened. I've had people, you know, suggest some other things, and you know, they don't want to get involved with stuff, but I'll say, can I just pray for you? And even sometimes I'll say, could we just stop and pray? And you just don't get very many no's that way, maybe once or twice in a lifetime. You see, what James and what Proverbs and what we're all saying is we want to reframe our minds and hearts as, rather than, you know, what now, Lord, rather than why me, Lord?
Right. Yeah.
Think about the shift in that. How often do we say, why me? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to have this? Now, I say this in a lot of love, but well, why not you?
Yeah.
I mean, are you special that life doesn't ever touch you? That you shouldn't have to go through something? I mean, I don't know, but somehow we misinterpret that. And then we get trapped, because if you get trapped with a why me rather than a what now, but that changes everything.
Right.
A very simple adjustment can absolutely do amazing things. If we're going to minister to people, then we need to help them make the shift. And this is a critical shift. The second thing that comes up is anyone cheerful? Let them sing songs of praise. James says that if we're cheerful, then we can thank God by singing songs of praise. You know, we're intentional. We sing scriptural songs here. Most of the songs that we have are songs that directly connect to God's word, and we see this as an opportunity of ministry. It's not just a music moment, but a chance to sing. Often you'll hear me say, okay, we'll get done with a song and say, amen, because that becomes our prayer. Man, I'll never forget the first time I was a new believer and I was sitting actually around with Lois's family. We were in, I think, in Dinube. I was getting acquainted to them and they were having this 5 o'clock meal. And all of a sudden they said, well, why don't we sing our prayer? And then they looked at me, Steve, why don't you lead out? Now we're in trouble. The Word of God declares, let us celebrate with the praises of God. And there's something ministering about singing Scripture in a service like this, as people come in, it becomes a point of ministry. And so when people, you know, are coming in and you and I are taking on this challenge of serving others, then our singing becomes critical. It's not just a nice idea or a part of the ritual of what we do. It is ministry. It is real, genuine, and it literally, it says, is anyone cheerful? Let him, you know, that word cheerful, that's kind of a crazy word. What does it mean to be cheerful? Think about it for a second. If someone says, are you cheerful? What would you say? Yeah, so you're laughing going, yeah, cheerful. I mean, what does that mean? I'm not sure. I don't know the last time we probably don't use that word very often, do we? Hi, are you feeling cheerful today? I think if I said that to some people, they'd look at me like weird, you know, but you know what, but it's interesting. And you look at this word, the word cheerful, right? So this is James, this is a Greek word. And cheerful is a blend of two Greek words that they put together. You can look it up in your Greek dictionary. And the two words are well and soul. Cheerful means my soul is well. Oh, wow. Not that I'm giddy, not that I'm laughing, not that I'm, you know, over the top happy, but my soul is well. Well means healthy. My soul is healthy.
That's good.
I love the song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Amen.
Did you know that the writer of that song was an attorney? Can you believe that? Attorney wrote this song. And this is back in the 1800s, late 1800s. And he had put his wife and daughters onto a ship to send them to Europe to go to Paris. And he was supposed to be with them, but got stuck behind on a business situation and was going to join them a couple days later. They're on their way across the waters to go to Europe. This was a happy time, family time. And a Scottish ship ran into their ship, their cruise liner, and they just didn't see each other. It was night, foggy. This is the 1800s, and put a hole in the side of the ship. And literally within less than an hour, that cruise liner sunk. 233 people lost their lives. As the story goes, Mom had gathered her daughters. There were four of them. And so the five of them went to the top of the deck. These were strong believers. And she brought them together. And by way of a pastor who had been and witnessed this, she brought her daughters together and they prayed, may God's will be done and that he would save us. A couple hours later, a rescue ship had arrived and found Mom hanging on to a piece of wreckage. They brought her on board and she reported, I've lost all of my daughters. She sent a telegram to her husband. I am the only one to survive. All else is lost. What shall I do? Of course, you can imagine being dad receiving such a telegram like that. Well, within the next day, he caught the first ship out going to be with his wife and to, you know, comfort her. And on the way on that journey, as he was headed to be with his wife to bring comfort, there are about 3 or 4 days, as I recall, into the journey, and the captain calls Dad to his cabin and says, we're going to stop here for a moment. This is the very spot where you lost your daughters. And so he went onto the deck to remember the loss of his daughters. And it says, from that point, by the time he got back and landed a couple days later, he had written the song, It Is Well With My Soul. That's the ministry of what the Lord brings into someone's heart and life, even in the midst of the greatest possible tragedy. Yes, it was painful. You read the story of these events. You hear about this one who wrote this and what the Lord did. It is absolutely amazing that he could go through such, and You know, his life didn't, that wasn't like the last time, as you read his life story and you can read more about it. I mean, it goes on to say that they had more children and he lost another child. And he faced difficulty over and over again. But he lived this amazing understanding that my soul is well, not because of what's happened to me or what hasn't happened to me, but because of the presence of Jesus in my life. Yes. That makes all the difference. It tells us, is anyone sick? And I love what this means, and you can look it up again. This word sick has two meanings: physical illness, weariness of mind. So obviously we understand the idea, are you physically sick? Man, let's pray. I mean, that's a pretty easy thing. But what about remembering that we pray when there's a weariness of mind? We get tired with life. We get tired with all the things that go around us. So what are we supposed to do? How is it that we can be medicine to the world around us? It's simple. Call the elders, the pastors, leaders of the church to what?
Pray.
Let them anoint them with oil and do what?
Pray.
Let them do what?
Pray.
Over us. That's it. You don't have to do anything else fancy or anything else special, if you will. How special is that? But that we become medicine to the world around us through prayer.
Right.
And praying for those who come who are physically ill and who have weariness of mind. I really believe that you and I have an amazing opportunity to discover the power of God. Because it's God's power that does the amazing work.
Yeah.
We don't do it ourselves. The scripture says, my power works best in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
Can you say amen to that, church?
Amen.
Is it well with your soul? Well, I think it's true. As Chris, I loved it. That's one of the reasons why I had Pastor Christina share, in addition to Pastor Ken. How can we be medicine if we don't receive medicine ourselves? I've asked the worship team to bring this amazing declaration. I told you the story. I want you to think about what's meant.